This call is being recorded.
Hello. Hello. Welcome.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good. Pretty good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay.
Okay.
Did you get the note that Kemet and
yes.
Bob were tonight? Okay.
Yes. Is that your number, the 202 number?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, who is this texting me? They must be from D.C.
You said texting you? Oh, when I responded back?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was like, when did I text you? Okay, you mean when I did the group text. Mm-hmm.
Right. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello?
Is that Baba Kojo? I thought I heard someone else. On the call. Welcome.
Welcome. This is Nahanda.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Uh-huh. Hey, Nahanda.
Hi. I'm at my mom's house, so I don't know if her phone's kind of weird.
Okay. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm real good. Thank you for asking.
Cool. You're welcome.
How's everybody else?
Good.
Okay.
Ready for the weekend?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Baba Kojo here.
Hey, Baba Kojo.
Nice, is that you?
Yes.
Oh, welcome. I've spoken to you in a Coon's ages, the old folks.
What did you say, Baba Kojo?
I just heard Langston's voice in a Coon's age. That's from back
so you
in the
haven't
day,
heard
right?
My voice in a cool age or cool day?
A coon, like a raccoon's age.
Oh.
Don't
ask me
what
you... Oh. Okay.
Don't ask me.
I never heard that one before.
Yeah, well, it's back in the day. Back in the day.
Your phone sounds a little muffled.
You said my phone is?
Uh-huh. When you were talking, you sounded a little muffled.
That
sounds better. Was I the only person that it sounded muffled to?
No.
Okay.
You sound a little muffled too. That muffled is like there's a something. Speak again, DR.
Greetings.
Greetings. Okay. All right. I can hear you now. I couldn't hear you too well either. So.
Oh.
I'm gonna put it on mute. I'm in a car, so.
Okay.
Pick up some. I'm going on mute. Just holler, and I'll come off.
Okay.
Baba Kojo, before you do that.
Yes.
What was the Wednesday topic about?
The feminine. Aspects of Nile Valley civilization.
The what aspect?
The feminine aspects of the Nile Valley civilization.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And the coming age of Aquarius, which should bring the feminine back into civilization.
Okay.
If I could summarize it. Great presentation. She did a great job. Great job.
Sounds like it. Thank you, Madonna.
Tim had left before I did, so I know he'll be on the phone shortly.
Okay. Do any of y'all celebrate Christmas?
No, not really.
I gave up Christmas for Lent about 20 years ago. So.
Okay. Ready to tell me that. I hear that.
Do you celebrate it?
No, I don't. Haven't received too much flack yet. I don't think I will. Yeah.
I think Kemet is somewhere else. We're all on. He just sent an email talking about, is anyone joining the call?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just responded back.
And I just saw a message from Dio that she was going to be on, so I don't know where he is. He's in the city here someplace with me.
Okay, I just sent him back saying we're all on in our name, so I don't know where he is.
Welcome.
It's good to be here.
Hey, Dio.
Hello, hello, Diara.
Hey, Langston.
What's up, Honda?
And Baba Kojo.
Hey, Baba Kojo.
And hey, Honda.
Hello, Naranda.
Hello.
I'm singing to you and sending you love.
That's wonderful. I'm receiving it.
Good. I'm glad. Take it all in, girl.
Yes.
Where's Kevin?
I don't know. I just sent him a text telling him that we were all on. I don't know where he is. Because he said, is anyone joining?
Right? Is he on the right call?
He must not be, because we've been on, Langston was on, has been on since before 9:20, so I don't know what line he's on.
On the right line. Let's see. If I can copy the number. All right, I just reset the number. So, Baba Kojo, can you enlighten us? Is there something Bumi talked about today? Anything like what, you know, struck out? What was an aha? What was something that, you know, maybe something you didn't know? Or
well, I thought that she did it. Number one, I thought she did an excellent job of showing us the symbols, I guess you say signs and symbols from ancient Kemet that indicated the influence of the female. And I lived my entire life thinking that mermaids were some fictitious story created by white people, and that Om was strictly from India, the term Om. And those are two things that just stood out for me. And looking at the Earth in terms of the energy from the core of the Earth and our ability to absorb that energy was of value to me. And to look at the age of Aquarius as we move into it, how the feminine, the disruption that's going to have to take place for the feminine to reclaim its rightful place in the universe is going to be interesting for the next 15, 20 years. Everything we see is going to be disrupted. And it happens every 2,000-something-odd years, and our ancestors knew it and prepared themselves for it. So that's what I got out of this evening.
Bible Kojo, can you, what's the history of the Om? Because I've always really, that's resonated very deeply with me whenever I've done Om, so I would love to hear what's the connection with Africa or Kemet.
Well, there's a book called Black. I'll tell you in a minute. Talks about the term Om is actually a glyph for Kemet.
It's what?
So it's a part of hieroglyphics. The term Om, you can see it in ancient Kemet. Duval, the white archaeologist, the white Egyptologist, talks about it in one of his books. I can't think of the name of the book right now. I'll think of it in a minute. I'll tell you what it is. She didn't get into the history. She just talked about the fact that we would use that term Om to connect to the energy, the electromagnetic energy in the universe, on the Earth. And I thought Om was only, I only connected the Om to Buddha. That's just me.
Greetings, everyone. How's everyone
doing?
Hey. Who's on the phone?
All of God's children are here.
Diara, Baba Kojo.
Me.
Langston. Langston. Hey, Langston.
Hello.
Dio.
Hey, Dio. Yeah, I apologize. I actually called into the call around 9:15 and have been sitting on the call since 9:15 by myself. There probably was a technology glitch. I do my best to let that happen again.
And you called the number Dio text you?
I just hung up and redialed after I saw the text that y'all sent. Like, I sent out a message saying, is anyone going to come on the call? And I was already on the line. I'd been on the line for a while. So somehow, and I just used that same number. I called it twice. I just hung up and called the same number back. And put me in with you all this time.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm glad to get here, you know. Glad to be here. And I appreciate y'all accommodating me with this late start. And I heard some of what Baba Kojo was saying about the presentation, and that's cool. In the sense of, I use that as a segue, he's talking about Om and ancient Kemet. So it seems like y'all were going back to some foundational stuff. And one of the things that I was going to talk about tonight with you all, there's three things, just remind me, I don't know if we'll cover them all tonight. One is Lauryn Hill's song, Black Rage. Two is the thing I'm about to talk about, foundational. And three, Castle's got a scheduled time to give y'all some historical.
So with regard to the foundational, I was listening to BFW. This woman has a show called Mind Talk. And she's a therapist, I'm guessing, licensed, whatever. And she has different topics. It could be some heavy childhood trauma. It could be emotion, mental illness, addiction. And that's what her show is always about, that stuff. So this time she had someone on there who wrote a book about, the woman wrote a book about her life. And she had this incredibly challenging and triumphant story. She comes out at the end and she's, I think, a nurse somewhere in D.C. now. And she was talking about stuff in the book. And she wrote a book which is kind of, I guess, that broadly be described as a self-help book. And, you know, different sections of her book. One of them talked about forgiveness. And there was other stuff, too. And what I recall is what I noticed about forgiveness is you all might have noticed as well, we never use the word forgiveness in all the weekends that I've been facilitating Warrior Healer Build. And I just thought that forgiveness is, I mean, I hear so much in Deepak Chopra and everywhere else, Oprah and all this stuff is always, you know, something. And so that started me thinking, well, why don't we ever talk about forgiveness and Warriors, Healers, and Builders? And that's a real question for you all. I'll open it up now for you all to tell me.
That's a really good question. This is DR, and what came up for me is that my understanding of forgiveness, and usually whenever I hear it in those rounds, Oprah, church, whatever, women's workshop, it's always peace around forgiveness frees the forgiver, and it allows the forgiver to move forward and let stuff go and to heal relationships with the person or but basically this whole notion of it releases you of whatever that baggage or burden that's related to this violation that's been committed against you. And within the weekend and the tools that why I see it as not being necessary is because if I realize that there's been a violation and I'm mad about it, I can process through my feelings to get to that same place, and it doesn't necessarily require any forgiveness. What it requires is for me to stop the violation and to give myself whatever it is that I need to block. So, you know, so I guess it's however it is I'm processing through my mad. So first is just acknowledging what the violation is, blocking the violation, stopping the violation, and then resetting agreement. And so if I do that, then I can get to that same place without me going down this path of I need to forgive this person. So that, for me, is how I see not the need to even get into this space around needing to forgive someone.
Mm.
And, you know, I see it that it's built like, and it's kind of echoing you, Diara, and that it's already built into the tools that we already use. Because when I look at it, one of the things that I thought when you said it was, you know, forgiving myself, forgiving others. And for me, it was kind of processing recently when I was processing through a lot of sad and writing out my losses. And kind of in that grief process gets me to the place of forgiving myself. So it's like even in the shaming and blaming myself, in not shaming and blaming myself, I'm forgiving myself of expectations I may have had of myself that I just needed to let go. So I believe that it's already built in. Yeah, it's already there. And then it just it brings to me kind of how these terms and concepts take on this life of their own or not, right? Take on a life that somebody wants it to, and how people will build whole books and seminars and sessions and, you know, just build something around this term, forgiveness.
Anybody else want to say anything before I speak?
Well, for me, forgiveness is not a feeling. And when we're dealing on the weekend with sadness or fear or mad or the other three, somewhere along the line, there's probably another word in there that it's not said, and that's apology. And if you, I don't know what the value is of either forgiveness or apology, other than, as I think Dio just said, it is woven into the English language, and we treat it as if it's inevitable that you have to apologize and that you have to forgive somebody or forgive yourself. And on the other hand, you should never put yourself down in the first place, we say, in the weekend. So if you don't put yourself down, there's no reason to forgive yourself, if that makes any sense.
It does,
and you saying apology then has me thinking, like, if I did something that I have to apologize to you for, or if somebody did something to me and I want an apology, it's more like, was there an agreement? Did you violate an agreement? No matter what, it seems like it can bring us back or bring me back to bam.
All of you all, everybody that spoke, all of you all were saying some good points. And I'll say what I started when I started talking, and my segue had to do with foundational stuff. That's because the reason forgiveness is never mentioned is because the pieces that we deal with on the weekend are foundational pieces. They are core. They are foundation. That to the extent I think Dio talked about the forgiveness hustle, where you write a whole book about forgiveness. You know, and forgiveness is not a foundational piece. And because you're dealing with foundational pieces, you never have to go off into these unnecessary places. When you know, with fam, it's right there, you're foundational, if you're in your feelings, if you're authentically with your feelings, you don't have to worry about, you don't have to even get into this whole forgiveness thing. And it also highlights, and I know all of you have heard that Christianity was used to enslave our people. I know you've heard that Christianity is African and started in Africa and all that. Well, it's an example of it, this forgiveness thing. It's no place. You can be busy forgiving somebody and not stopping the violation.
Right, because I think of somebody like in an abusive relationship or something happens, like, no, you just beat my ass or you just hit me. Like, no, I don't want your apology. Like, I want you to say that you're not going to do that shit again. Like, that's never happened to me, thank God. And I could only, like, I want the violation to stop. Like, I don't want you to say you're sorry and then you keep violating me.
That's why I'm saying that that's a foundational piece that we're dealing with. Exactly right, though. Mm-hmm. So, to the extent, if you look at it on a collective level, that you're oppressing African people, that you want to oppress somebody, make them Christian and tell them that Jesus said, forgive everybody. You never have to go, forgiveness allows you to continue to oppress.
Yeah.
The same can be said, of course we don't go to forgiving ourselves. we never talk about forgiveness. You never have to forgive yourself if you're dealing with the river of touches. If you're dealing with the river of touches,
on the phone, Ma.
You are given. Hello?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, when you're dealing with the river of touches, you know to give yourself positive being and positive doing and negate doing. Touch the only touches that are on the golden triangle of touch. And you know proportions to give them to yourself. But there's no forgiving yourself. Another way sometimes people try to slide it in is to say that they are mad at themselves. Or that it's just not, that doesn't work under these foundational pieces. If you just practice the tools at the foundational level, best you can authentically, it eliminates all the other unnecessary, superfluous stuff that's out there. And you will see, you know, and you can even consider, you don't have to chant OM and get into a debate about OM if you're authentic with yourself, because if you're authentic and connected to yourself, you're connected to, you are connected to the earth. You're connected to your divinity. You are joyful, peaceful, powerful, authentic in yourself, and that's a beautiful state to be in. So it got me to thinking about also on the radio show with the woman, the next thing the woman says is one of the things that helped her through her, and it's a horrific story, and she's trying, and she did make it through. But she said one of the things she helped her through was the notion of the serenity prayer, Lord, give me the strength to change the things that I can, and the something, and the wisdom to know the difference. Anybody know the serenity prayer? What's the serenity prayer? Anybody know that?
Mm-mm.
Y'all know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I don't know the
I don't know exactly, but it has to do with give me the strength.
Well, give me the courage to change the things I can, the something that I can, and know the difference.
And the wisdom to know the difference between it, if I like.
And that didn't sit right with me either. To accept the things I can't. Something to accept the things I am. Lord, give me the something to accept the things that I can't. And what resonated with me about that is, which is lines from I Am. There's no, give me the, accept the things I can't change. In fact, I am, there's a line in there like, part I am the eternal value. I am this, I am that. It talks about I'm adequate. I know each cell by name. It's all these things that, in fact, there's nothing that you can't change. You know, I am is affirmation at a very fundamental level. You never would need or even begin to engage in some serenity prayer. I am is just that foundational. Accept the things that I cannot, and the wisdom, the courage to change the things that I can, something to accept the things I cannot,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah, I forget what it says, but so I am. It is of itself. It's a river of touches. It is just one long, giant, positive being, praise being, affirmation of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very different than Christianity, which is one long, consistent, negative being stroke of yourself, starting from born in sin to there's shit you can't change. And further, it's calling outside of yourself. You're calling outside of yourself to God or Lord to give you something. Whereas I am, in the view of a person expressing that as a positive praise being touched, it is in fact touching you as the divinity within. You accessing part of who you are, your connection, your relationship with the divinity is not an exterior one to you. It's an interior one. It's a joined already one with you. There's no distance between you and the divine. You are divine. And so you see that these are three very foundational, fundamental things. And if we just looked at fam, if we just looked at any one of them, just I am, you do a whole weekend. River touches a whole weekend. Fam a whole weekend. And guidelines a whole weekend. It's foundational. Done a lot of weekends, and sometimes I always leave like, we didn't get to this, we didn't get to that, we didn't do that. And there's so much that we don't do and we don't need to do because we're at the foundational level. We're right at the core. We're right there. As deep as they need to get, because you can get with them if they choose to go there. Because we can't make people go there. And that's part of the challenge, is intuitively participants know, oh, shit, if I go, you know, or they sense, they may not know in the cognitive sense, but they sense in the intuitive sense what they have to deal with if they allow themselves to really try on the tools and
right.
Go. So this is very, very important, and I want you all, I open it up now for any comments, thoughts, and questions, and also I want you all to tell me what from the weekend is a foundational piece and what pieces are not foundational to the extent if you had to categorize the pieces that you know from your book. I know you may not have your book there with you.
What pieces we know are foundational in the sense of what?
In the sense of foundational, like I just spent the last 15 minutes talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Foundational.
I would say, I know FAM is foundational, and River of Touches, and I think the S&I line as well. What I don't think is foundational might be, some of the Amos Wilson models. I don't remember the names of them. And I do remember going through them. I don't think those are foundational.
Tell me why you think the S&I line is a foundational piece.
Because it leads directly into making it a circle instead of a line, which is where and how African relationships should be a circle. So I think highlighting the line in my life and in people who attend the weekend's lives is important. And, okay, well, this is how it is now. This is how it can be. This is what's most healthiest. This is where love and trust can come in. And this is what's getting in the way, the line, the wall of those relationships.
And what did you say was not foundational, Langston?
Amos Wilson models.
And why do you say they're not foundational?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I just wouldn't put them in that category.
Any more?
And Amos Wilson's, are we talking about the thought disturbances?
I don't have my book with me.
Well, what are you talking about? What did you say to Amos Wilson, Mom?
Okay, so I think we talked about delusion versus delusion, what implants we were holding on to.
Are you going to tell me why you think the Amos Wilson stuff is not foundational, Lisa?
I don't know. Not that it wasn't important, just it didn't seem.
I think all of it is important. Question on the table. And if you knew, I know that you don't know why the Amos Wilson piece is not foundational, but if you knew why it wasn't foundational, what would you say to me?
Okay. I would say because the other models seemed to be more easier to access for most people just attending the weekends for the first time. Easier to pick up, easier to try on. It was very easy for me. And it took me a couple hours to actually address Amos Wilson's models outside of the weekend.
You think River of Touches is complicated?
Was that no? I don't think it was complicated.
Thank you, Lang. Mandasi Pa Langston. I'm listening.
You're welcome.
Don't all speak once.
I was gonna say I do think that the wounds and implants piece is foundational because it speaks to our innate goodness, our innate value and worth, and authenticity, and that there isn't anything wrong with us, there isn't anything we need to fix, and that piece allows us to see that anything contrary to that, our divinity is something outside of ourselves. It's a wound and or an implant that we've picked up that allows us to be easy to be manipulated by our practice, allows our practice to manipulate us, and then it also skews our identity, keeps us separate from ourselves, separate from our culture, and separate from our people. So I view that as being foundational.
Mandasi. Anybody else?
Given what, this is Baba Kojo, given what you outline as foundational, I'm scratching my head to figure out anything that we discuss that's not foundational.
Yeah, I'm over here thinking the same thing, because as I think about the S&I line and I think about Sam and River of Touches and Amos Wilson, it seems like that with the house that I've been to, we always touch on the foundational. Now, there are times when things, of course, resonate with me more than others at different times, or, you know, I get it, or I'm able to go a little deeper. But I don't see any of it as not. Oh, wait a minute. What's the triangle?
That's a praise being, praise doing, and negate doing.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's very important. Because it used to be called the Golden Triangle, now it's the River of Touches, right?
Well, the river of touches is all four, and I think the triangle is just three.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it would, those three right there, the S and I line, the River of Touches, and Fam especially, I would say they've always resonated with me at every how, and they were pretty appropriate for where I've been, where I am, and took me a minute to, I'm still addressing other models, and it's just those three have been easiest for me to use in everyday life. Come to me easier.
I'm also at the telling our name story. Talking about our names and telling our name story, I think, is also foundational because it speaks to self-determination. Our connection with our names in a lot of ways defines who we are, particularly as we have taken on African names to have meaning and significance in all of what the processing that we've gone through to gather those, to get those names, to embody those names, to walk in those names, to be affirmed in those names, I think is also key. And a key foundational piece.
Okay. Anybody else want to say anything before I talk?
Go ahead.
The question. Like, I never really understood the point of the question.
Which question, Dario?
The questionnaire that we have to answer in the beginning. Because it's like we write out those, we hand them in, and then nothing ever happens with that. So I don't know, are the facilitators reviewing the questions to then figure out what to do with folks? Or like, I don't understand the point of the question. Not just to prime the pump, but our initial like questionnaire. So I guess by me saying that, I don't know what the point of that is.
Nahanda,
and you're raising that issue because what, Dio?
Huh?
You're raising that issue that you just raised.
Because you asked what, because I guess because I'm flipping through my book, looking at what for me seems foundational versus not, and I came across the page with the questions, and that's why I bring it up. But that's not what you're asking us to talk about, so I guess I can ask you about it later.
No, it's fine. It's fair game to ask about. I wanted to know why you asked about it, and you answered my question. I wasn't trying to think and ask about it.
Okay.
I see the questions to help build the foundation to get you thinking about some things that you may not have considered or thought about by answering those questions sets the tone for the foundation. So for me, I see the questions, it gives you a base or somewhere to start to set the stage for the foundation.
And I guess when I go back, it's answering the question for the first time, and I think because I've been so many times, that's why I'm saying what's the point, because I've done it, I guess, so many times before. I don't know.
The question you all are considering are which models or which parts of the weekend are foundational and which parts are not foundational. How do you know when a model is a foundational model? That's to Dio, Nihanda, and Baba Kojo. Because I heard from DR and Langston on the issue.
So for me, spam, the S&I and the River of Touches, based on your how I know it's foundational for me, is how those are what came up for me when you asked the first question about forgiveness and how I went back to Sam and River of Touches as addressing, kind of encompassing that whole forgiveness piece. So that's how, for me, I know it's foundational because it's what I always go back to. It's like where I start.
Go ahead. What'd you say?
I was just telling Dio, thank you for sharing your thoughts with me. You'd like to share your thoughts with me, Mahanda?
Yeah. To me, it's foundational in knowing that is because it allows you to stay authentic. It gives you guidelines and a basis to know how to follow, to know when you have allowed the injection and when you're not loving yourself and all the things that the model represents. When you use those, it allows you to feel good and not have to look outside yourself, like you're saying, in the basis of negative beings and looking outside yourself versus seeing yourself as being divine and everything that is good about you versus looking outside for somebody to save you.
Thank you for sharing. Nod. Baba Kojo?
I think he was on mute.
Well, Diwa, I missed what your what tools they were. I heard you speak in general, but I didn't hear you say what.
Well,
what
I was saying FAM, S&I, River of Touches, all of them. And he's saying that they're core because when you use them and you know that what they are, it allows you to know when there's some oppression and injection that's happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I got that. I just wasn't sure what tools you were speaking of.
Okay.
Was talking to me. I was talking, and I had the phone on mute. I'm sorry. I had to go back and look at. I just walked in the house, so I just grabbed my book real quick and I took a look at what you were saying was foundational. River of Touches, the guidelines, cracking the code, feeling its messages. And I don't see anything that I've discussed or experienced the three times that I've done Warrior Healing Builders that does not, is not foundational. I'm finding it very difficult to find anything that I can't apply those four or five models to.
The question, Baba Kojo, was which models in your book are not foundational and which are? And how do you know when something is foundational?
And my answer is,
I don't see anything in it.
Huh? Hey, give me an answer. And what I'm saying is I don't see anything in there that's not foundational. Now, maybe I'm missing something someplace, but I don't see anything.
But how do you know when something's foundational?
I can apply it to the River of Touches, feeling the messengers, or it adheres to the guidelines.
Let me ask another question, Bob Kojo. How do you know if a model is foundational? What's the evaluative criteria you're using to determine if a model in the book that you hold in your hand is foundational?
I've got to think about that because I don't know how to even articulate that.
You do
how
know.
Do I know? If my foundation is built on spam, feeling as messengers, so I would look at the model to see if it it applies to that. Or if it has to do with the river of touches, how does it apply to it?
You would look at recovery to see how it applies to FAM to determine if it's foundational.
Yeah.
I hear you. Thank you for sharing. Madasi for sharing. All right. Y'all said some good stuff. I never thought about them questions before. I get back to y'all next week.
I couldn't tell if you're serious.
I'm messing with y'all. I'm serious in all seriousness. I think y'all said some wonderful stuff. And I particularly appreciate what you said, Nahanda. And I would gently remind you that avoid the phrase things that make you feel good, because the implication is that you feel bad, and you know from getting a facilitator in training, that there is no good feelings and bad feelings.
Right.
There are no positive feelings and bad and negative feelings. Diara, what you offered, and Langston. Now, y'all were on it and on the trail. And there's some language I will put to it and translate it. And y'all can decide if it fits for y'all or not and work your own genius on it and get back to me and whatever or share. I would say 7 steps to recovery is not foundational. I'd say that S&I line is not foundational. Everything under dynamics of domination. The Masi Moyo model, Marimba Ani, is not foundational. Asa Hilya model is not foundational. There's a model in there called Who's in Your Mouth. That ain't foundational. And the question is, what am I using? And Langston kind of convinced me of the rightness of his position, because although I don't think the S&I line is foundational, his explanation of it, he took it to where to the criteria that I use for determining if something is foundational. And I think DR mentioned it too. And I know Baba Kojo knows it, because he talks about it all the damn time, talking about it with me earlier this morning. And that's just, it goes to what Ingabani calls the view of the person. It goes to how you view the person is foundational. How you view yourself, how you view the human being, how you view the person. The reason I'm saying stuff under dynamics of domination is not foundational, because all those models are just explaining how Europeans dominate us. You know, they might talk about the European view of the other person. That's not a foundational piece for us. Foundational pieces for us get us to how we view ourselves. The FAM, at the core of FAM, is being your authentic self. That's a view of the person. At the core of the river of touches, is this golden triangle, is this view of the person as an object of veneration from birth to death. At the core of I Am is a view of the person as this all-powerful, divine, eternal being. And S&I line is not at its core. Doesn't get to any of that stuff. And then Langston convince me otherwise, because Langston took it to how you view the person once you are in the model. DR, you said something, I'm blanking on it now. You remember exactly what you said, DR?
I talked about the wounds and the implant.
The wounds and the implant, to me, are not foundational. Because that's not going to
who you are as a person. And then as I listened to what DR was saying, and I think a little bit of what Mahonda was saying, they did kind of take it to the view of the person. Like the wound is not who you are. And I'm not putting that out as right or not. I'm putting that out there for y'all to get back to me on. That's what I think. and this all this other stuff. Think about the stuff y'all encounter on Oprah, Dr. Phil. Go, I know y'all got them Deepak Chopra's books on your bookshelf. Go look at them. Y'all got them books. Look at them chapters and all the self-help. I got a self-help book in there. I got a little shelf in there. Got stuff like Get Out of Your Own Way. What else? One Day My Soul Just Opened Up. Get that Yama Van Sand stuff out of there. And y'all see if it's not foundational. And to the extent it is foundational, to the extent it's Christian, it's a foundation it's an alien foundation to us. You know? To the extent it's Islam, it's an alien foundation to us. So under the guise of speaking and talking about rhetorical ethic, how much more rhetorical ethic can you get as a self-help book that takes you away from your authentic African view of the person? That ain't self-help. That got me fired up. Give me CNN on this fucking phone. I'm hello? Okay. Y'all thoughts, comments. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's what I wanted to talk to y'all about. You know, when Kessa comes on the call, we might talk a little bit more about which pieces are foundational pieces and which are not. You'll hear his take on it. We'll talk about the history of the model, how they evolved, where they came from, all of them in your book, not just Fan, Flow, Slam, River, Touches, Tess and House, stuff like that, but all of them in the various books that you have. All right. Any thoughts, ahas, anything about this foundational discussion we might have? What's foundational? View of the person, any of it? Any, you know, agree, disagree, got it, don't got it, I'm lost. How you feeling about all this? Feelings are always welcome. What have your feelings informed you of during this conversation? No through your feelings, or not just through your cognitive door.
I feel joyful to I'm feeling joyful right now that I've gained a greater appreciation for the tools and the ones, particularly the ones that allow me to kind of really focus in on my greatness, my divinity. So I've relearned quite a bit on the call. And what else do I want to add? It was something in particular when you were listening to options, but I don't remember what it was. And I agree with some of the others that you had named. They weren't in my book, so I didn't think about them. But the dynamics of domination was one that came to mind, and I agree it's not foundational because this really speaks to, for me, shifting my paradigm around oppression and domination and really giving me strategies on how to address it. And so that's something that really doesn't directly relate to my beingness, but helps me with my doing. So that was just what I was going to add. So I think this was an excellent piece, another way to approach the tools as a facilitator in training, which pieces are, as you talked about,
critical getting through the weekend. I know I have that thought, oh, we didn't get to this, oh, we didn't get to that. And now really being able to see and appreciate that when we deal with the foundational pieces, then that's really, in my mind, work for healing, true healing, and then everything else can be built upon that.
Sure.
Okay.
For me, I looked at like the exercises for domination as a foundation because it helped me look at the type of injection that I encounter, and allows me to have a different mindset of using the tools and having something to go back and refer to, and being able to identify just from what you're saying with a self-help book and things like that, knowing when injection is happening, when there's an SNI is taking place. You know, so I look at it still as a foundation because it gives me a different, it allows me to look at and think about how conversations that people have in a different way and approaching it and realizing and knowing when there are some alien scripts happening within myself as well as the conversation with someone else.
I mean, I'm translating that, Nihonda, to any tool can be foundational if it takes you to a place where your view of your person, of yourself, view of the person, is one of praise being.
Okay.
So to the extent the dynamics of domination explain to you when SNI is going on or when injected oppression is happening, and it makes you aware when scripts are going, it makes you aware of those scripts that are going, negative being scripts that are going, and you're giving negative being touches, and it makes you then stop those negative being touches, and it reminds you of your greatness, then yes, indeed, it's consistent with my position about it's taking you to a view of the person that is praise being. And you are just using the dynamics of domination to get there. Everybody doesn't use it to get there. And it's okay to use it to get there. And I'm just showing you how it's consistent. Even though DR is saying it's not foundational, and you're saying it is foundational, both of you all are in agreement to the extent that you get to the view of the person as being from an African place, a divine person, a praise being touched person. Follow me, Medina. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, did you follow me?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
I had a big aha moment or opening or saw the excellence in the exercise, looking at that which is foundational, and I'm just grateful for the way you started this session off, Kimmer, around this whole thing about forgiveness and apology. And I didn't realize how deep it was as a part of my alien injection, looking for apology. And the biggest issue for me was forgiving myself, not realizing that there's no reason for me to forgive myself, and how dealing with this thing about apology and forgiveness interferes with my ability to free myself from the injected oppression. So that was the biggest opening for me of this whole discussion. And I put it right up there with the first day I heard Kessler ask the question or make a statement about being emotionally illiterate.
You made a statement about what?
When I heard Kessler talk about being emotionally illiterate.
Okay.
I had never heard that term before. And tonight, when we started talking about forgiveness and the word apology came up, I compared those two aha moments to me being it's equally powerful. So I am grateful for the conversation.
Ashe.
Ashe. Ashe.
I heard from Bobby Coach and I heard from DR. I'm waiting to hear.
You didn't hear from me? I thought you heard from me.
I thought you heard from me too. What's the new question?
Okay, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. Hey, you have anything you want to add, anything from this conversation you want to say? Anybody? Then we'll change the topic. Okay.
Did you say before we change the topic?
Yeah, I'm going to change the topic.
Work is closed out?
Yes.
Okay. Because I like to do a time check. It's 10:30. And I would like for you to renegotiate.
Renegotiate what?
The agreement is that our calls last an hour. And we started roughly around 9:30, 9:35.
I was saying I was changing the topic to close out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought when I said versus close out, I thought you said yes.
Oh, I thought you said to close out. Yeah.
Oh,
close.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. I apologize.
I don't accept your apology. You didn't violate.
Okay. You're right.
Everybody okay to go to closure?
No, wait a minute. Before you get to closure, I just heard something. You said to her, you just said to Diara, there was no need to apologize. Are we saying that there is no need to apologize ever? Hello? Hello?
You know, it's interesting that you say that, Baba Kojo, because when I was in a closing the other day, there was a guy, you know, a family, and his daughter said, "I'm sorry," and his dad looked at her, and she said, "Oh, no, I apologize," or she said, "No, I'm not sorry," you know, like, "my apologies." So just in kind of correct her language and how she speaks, she's like, "We don't say I'm sorry. You know, I don't say I'm sorry." So she's like, "I apologize," but he was like, yeah, that doesn't, you know, that's not in your vocab. So I thought that was interesting. Or not interesting, I thought that was a positive piece that I saw with him and his baby girl.
Emily, you going to respond to Barbara Kojo's question?
I think you might have dropped off.
I think I heard
someone
drop.
Had locked off.
Hello.
Welcome.
Sorry about that. I dropped my phone. Last thing I heard was Baba Kojo say, am I saying that we never have to apologize for anything or something like that?
Right.
Yeah.
Did y'all address that? Did somebody already address Baba Kojo on that? Have y'all moved on?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. The reason I told DR I don't accept her apology is because DR didn't break any agreements with me, and she didn't violate me. I didn't feel violated.
So, are you expecting, am I to expect an apology if somebody violates me?
I don't know what you're expecting, and I would... Under the model, if somebody violates you, your obligation is to stop the violation first.
Okay. So, yeah, I got that. So you stop the violation.
Violation. Okay. After you stop the violation, and you can stop it by setting limits, renegotiating the agreement, or whatever.
Right.
You check in with yourself on how you feel. If you feel
I didn't hear anything you said. No,
then you check in on yourself on how you feel.
Okay, so I've done that.
You don't feel peaceful, powerful, and joyful. You keep on keeping on.
So your answer is there is no reason to give somebody an apology.
No, it's not. It's like this is kind of theoretical and kind of abstract. That's why I need a real example. But in theory, Baba Kojo, the reason my voice is like I don't like this theory shit, but in theory, after you stop the violation and you reset your limits with the person, you may still feel scared, and the danger to you might be that the person is going to hit you again, and the reassurance you might need is for that person to apologize. And that might be reassuring to you. It might not. You might need a purple lollipop. I don't know what you'll need for reassurance.
Mom.
Okay. I just heard that, and I just wanted to. So I will think about that. I have
right.
to. I have to digest that. Okay.
Right.
Thank you for your explanation. Makes sense.
Right. So we're in closure, right? Any appreciations, regrets, learnings, relearning, and we'll close out.
Something that I've taken away being on these calls is I think from Baba Kemet saying, I hear you, and I've been saying that. I've been saying that all the time, like, instead of, I'm sorry, and not discounting I'm sorry, just trying that on eagerly, and it fits, and it's cool. Thank you, Bob Kimmett. I appreciate that, for saying that.
You're welcome, Langston. I appreciate you.
I appreciate the topic, knowing and understanding the foundational piece, and identifying and the various models and how they relate back to being foundational. That's good for me. Appreciate it.
I appreciate the topic, Kimmett. I appreciate you for continuing to model how to integrate and apply this work to day-to-day life, listening to a radio show, watching something on TV, reading a book, how to identify wounds and implants. I appreciate all of the contributions tonight. And as always, I appreciate the space.
Ashe.
Kimmett, I appreciate you. I like what Diara said in integrating and using, because that's my hope is that I'm able to see, I use the tools in my everyday life, and I look forward to them becoming so foundationally a part of me that, there's no need for me to even want to, read a different self-help book or some other type of book. I would just call them self-help books in that regard. So I really liked you bringing up that point as well. It's like I really have all that I need right here. And even though I know that, looking forward to when the search outside of, I no longer have to search outside of that or search outside of myself for the answer, the better way to put it. I appreciate the conversations that I've been having in applying non-foundational tools such as the dynamics of European domination and really more so that overt, covert oppression in the different levels. So just talking about those varying levels has been a part of a conversation of mine since my experience for Halloween, so kind of since that time, and all the stuff that's happening with Ferguson and Tamir and all these things that are going on that has been resonating with me and has been a part of a lot of conversations I've been having. So I appreciate even the non-foundational tools, which just kind of build on the foundation. I appreciate myself for being here. I appreciate each one of you, Diara, Nahanda, Baba Kojo, Langston, for your voices and for your contribution and for you all being on the call. Ashe.
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 You're welcome. Ashe.
Baba Kojo is here. I appreciate everybody on the call, and especially for each of you having the ability to remind me of my greatness as an African, and that I have been venerated from birth to death, and that I'm an African on the rise. And I just appreciate the space to look at that.
Sure. Okay. I appreciate all you all for creating space, allowing me to be a part of it, and y'all for indulging me to ramble and run and push and prod and challenge and cut off and encourage and all that stuff. And give me room to stretch out and get these thoughts out of my head into some other African ears. I appreciate that. I appreciate myself. And I appreciate Aya and Kessa. Yeah, appreciate Yinka and Zynga and
Sappho, and I appreciate the African people on the rise. Yeah, and I appreciate each of you all for sharing your particular genius with me. Having the courage to be African and the confidence to share your genius all with me. Oshé.
Oshé.
Ozambe.
We didn't get to Lauryn Hill's Black Rage song tonight. We can pick it up maybe next time if you haven't listened to it, listen to it. And everybody have a wonderful holiday season. Enjoy Kwanzaa. And if you see a man trying to break into your house, shoot him. I don't care what he's carrying.
I have a question. Are we going to do next? Are we going to have a call next Wednesday? Because I think next Thursday is the 25th, I believe, or that Friday.
Yeah, it's fine with me. Next Friday is the 25th, 24th. It's up to y'all, what y'all want to do.
I actually have plans on that Wednesday. Is Wednesday the 24th? Yeah. I have plans on Wednesday.
Okay.
I thought you were going to be with y'all, saying y'all want to be with y'all family, which is, ain't nothing more African than that, being with family. Y'all have a good chance to practice out of school.
True. I will not be on the call next Wednesday, Friday. I will be chilling on the beach in Belize.
Oh, wow. Yeep.
Enjoy. Call my name.
Nadasi, thank you. I definitely will.
You say you're going to bring us back some presents?
It's possible.
I love rocks and seashells, so if you see one to speak to, you're supposed to please pick it up.
You said rocks and seashells?
And I'm
gazing at the sun. Get me some.
If any gold bullion washes up on the shore, you can bring it back to me.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take some of the gold bullion too.
Okay.
All right. So we're saying we're not doing a call next Wednesday.
Right.
Okay.
Were you saying something, Mama Mudiwa?
I'm going to be with family, but I'm okay to be on the call.
You say you want to do the call, Madiwa?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I will be, I may be traveling, but I can be on the call too, so I'll be coach with you. So.
All right, so we'll do the call with the expectation that Madiwa, Papa Kojo, and myself will be on the call.
And the
you have an agreement not to interrupt me. No, my question was, I thought, Lance, you said you can't be on the call, right? I wasn't clear about that.
Right.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear.
And I was going to say the following Wednesday is New Year's Eve, and I'm considering hosting a Kwanzaa party. I won't be available that evening as well.
I don't know. You said you're going to host it in Atlanta, right? It's going to be in Atlanta?
The party will be here. And you are more than welcome to come up and join us.
Okay. I'll be invited.
Yeah. Everyone is invited. I'm still contemplating that. Just wanted to put that out there as well.
Wonderful.
right. Hey, well, it was good talking to y'all. I miss hearing y'all, those voices.
Yeah.
I'm sending you hugs, Langston.
Okay. I'm receiving them. I feel them.
Enjoy the holidays, everyone. I'll talk to those on next Wednesday. And the following Wednesday, we're not having a call because everybody's going to be at DR's house.
right.
That's it.
Right. It's DR's house or in Belize. Those are the only two options. Then we're into 2015. Watu Bori, everyone.
Watu Bori.
Good night.
Good night.